Well, we're not trying to wear something out, but folks, we're still talking about an excellent spirit versus a limiting factor. We have looked at this for several weeks now, and I believe the Lord's still inspiring us to continue this little thing. I believe that God has so many good things for His people, and we sometimes are so limited by allowing the flesh a place that it should not have in our life. And when we allow the flesh a place, it robs from us. It takes our opportunities. We began pretty early on speaking about Daniel, and the scriptures say he had an excellent spirit. And it opened doors for Daniel. The Lord was able to use him in the highest places of King Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and then others following Nebuchadnezzar. And we find that Daniel was used of God because he had an excellent spirit. And then we looked in that same lesson about Saul, the king, and how Saul also was anointed of God. Saul also was called to a work. Saul began good, but he had a very limiting factor. It was not long until Saul allowed his flesh to get in the way, and God was not able to use him. He wanted to. Samuel told Saul, God would have established your kingdom forever right here if you would have obeyed him, but you didn't. And so many times our flesh gets in the way. Sometimes it's not sin that gets in the way, and I'll explain. Sometimes to have an excellent spirit, we talked about the tongue and how that we control our tongue and let God use our tongue. The tongue, it says, is a tree of life. It's wholesome. I can't remember exactly the scriptures there that we used. There was a number. But I think about the tongue and what a blessing it can be and how it can be used as a tree of life to those around us. It can be used to encourage people. It can be used to breathe new energy, new life, new blessing into their lives. Or we can limit God because we don't use our tongue just quite like we should. Maybe it's not always sinful things. Maybe it's just simply that we're critical, we're harsh, we're ugly, or we're just silly with our tongue all the time. Do you know that many times those things can limit and shut doors that God wants to use us, and we are limited by those things. We are limited when we use our tongue in the wrong way. And so that's a limiting factor, and that's what we wrote again this morning. An excellent spirit versus a limiting factor. And so we've been trying to draw a contrast by the help of the Lord. I feel like He's given us several things here for us to consider in our lives, that we don't live under a crush, but that we see something a little higher. Lord, let me not have limiting factors that limit you in what you would like to do in my life. I believe God's pretty big. When I look at the things He's done and made, I think He's got a pretty big imagination. And He's got the power to bring it forth. And I don't know what He has for your life this morning and for mine. But I'm persuaded that He has more in mind than we do lots of times. And we limit Him many times by our own self, by our own flesh, if we're not careful. And so I want to look again this morning about the flesh in a little different way. I want to speak a little this morning about loving the world and how it limits God to be able to use our lives like He would like to. It limits God from being able to dwell in our lives like he wants to meet with us. Because as we read in one of those, you know, there's not any flesh going to glory in God's presence. And so we can't come into the presence of God if we have flesh bulging all over us. God wants to, he wants to work on our spirit. He wants us to have an excellent spirit. I believe we can, don't you, this morning? Is that beyond us? Is only Daniel and a few others? Daniel wasn't even in the day of the great grace of God, where God is able through his spirit to dwell in a heart and live and speak through every one of us. Daniel didn't live in that day. And yet Daniel had an excellent spirit. And yet he lived in a place that even the angel that came down, or whatever, whoever that was that came down and visited with him, and he said, "Oh Daniel, thou art greatly beloved." You know, God had a real attachment to Daniel, just like Daniel had to God. And we can have that too, if we're not limited. And we are many times limited, I believe. This morning I want to look at another contrast. And just think about this, not as an accusation that I'm not doing everything that but as a challenge to us. That there is maybe greater heights in the Lord. Maybe we can know him better than we do. I want to look at Joshua 14 and 6. And here it speaks, Joshua 14 and 6 to 14. I'm going to read a little while here. It says here, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And my strength, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." I think we all, probably most all of us, know this story this morning. If we think back 45 years from this date, there was a time, there was a point in time, there was a place where major decisions were made. And most of the people were angry with Joshua and Caleb. And they even spoke of stoning them, because they were simply saying, "Let's do exactly what God said. Let's go in and let's inherit the land. And let's inherit the promises of God. He is well able to take us in and take care of all those things. Those people are bread for us," they said. Do you know, this morning, the mass of the people said, "No, we'll turn back to Egypt. We're going back." And in their hearts, they went back. Now, we liken that to sin today, don't we? And the mass of people today will say, no, I can't do that. I can't live for God just like He wants me to. I can't give myself fully like that. I don't know what will happen to me. Now, you know, this was 45 years later. This was 45 years later. And the picture is so defined now. All of those people were dead. None of them inherited the things God had for them. None of them. Now, the scriptures tell us these things are written for our admonition. They're written for us to take heed to and to recognize that the mass of people don't follow the Lord. Many times, and it is true, we find them turning back in their hearts to the things they loved or whatever it was. They forgot all the abuses back there. They forgot all the things they endured in that land. And people do that today. They forget that the devil was bad to them, that he stole their marriage. They forget that he stole the good things of life. They forget how he tormented them with addictions and all of those things. And they turn back in their hearts. And do you know that these people, all these people that did that, that were 20 and up, were limited. None of them were able to inherit the promises of God. But you know what? There was a couple of guys. And they said, we're well able. We're well able. And they, and his testimony here was that he wholly, completely followed the Lord. He did, he fell into what God wanted him to do completely, and he was willing at the risk of his life to take God's way. And we find here that 45 years later, we see the great difference. Here he was, 85 years old, and he said, my strength is just as strong today as it was when I was 40 years old. You know, only God can do those kind of things. But God does that. Folks, we just limit him. We limit him if we are not careful. And I want to this morning talk a little bit about the things that limit us and the things that cause us to not inherit all those blessings that the Lord had. The Lord had great things for these people. He said, you can have vineyards you never planted. I'm going to give you houses you never built. You're going to have vineyards. You're going to have gardens. You're going to have all those blessings. You didn't do it. I'm going to give it to you. Do you know this morning that still is the promise of God to all those that wholly follow me? To all those that wholly follow the Lord. Do you know the promise is that he has many, many blessings in our lives? And we love that, don't we? And we thank him for it. And we want him to have his way. And so I want to look at a number of scriptures this morning, and I just pray God to help us. Folks, I don't want us to fall under crushes of condemnation illegitimately. Now, if God condemns you, you better come quickly and pray. But I want to tell you, there's things that many of you, this is a fairly young congregation mostly. Do you know that we have our life ahead of us, however many years the Lord gives us? The choices, the holy following the Lord that you do today. I want to tell you something. Before you know it, 40 years is gone. I don't know how it happens that fast. It's gone. And here you are. You're getting older and so many years has elapsed. Do you know that the story is told at that point? The story of our existence up to that time is told, and we can't change it. But right now we can. Right now, wherever we are in life, at what point we are, whether we are young or old, we can wholly follow God from where we are this morning. In 1 Timothy 6 and 17, listen to what it says. And I want the last part of this verse, actually, but the first part says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I just think about this morning all the things that God has given to you and me to enjoy. Even in a physical sense, you look around. God, when he finished on the end of the sixth day, what did he say? He looked at it all and he saw that it was very good, didn't he? Did you know that the things of this life are not bad? The things God has made, the wonderful things we have to enjoy, he made them for us to enjoy. We should not feel bad about enjoying the good things of God. He made them specifically for us. I believe the Lord wants us to take some enjoyment in those things. And the tree yielding seed, he made the fruit, the beautiful mountains, and all of it was good. And it's a blessing to us, isn't it? We take time sometimes and we go and we spend some time in the mountains or we spend time here and there. We enjoy those things. Even the things man has made. He's made many evil inventions, but not everything is bad. And we enjoy some of those things, don't we? We enjoy those different kinds of things. We enjoy some of the technological advances and all. But do you know this morning, in 1 John 2 and 15, and this is my burden, I feel like the Lord gave us, I just want to share it with you and ask us to carefully consider in our lives, Lord, help me to have it right when it comes to these things, because it so limits us when we don't. The scripture tells us in 1 John 2 and 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Do you know this morning that the things in the world, the Lord tells us, don't love the world. What's he talking about? He made the world, didn't he? And he said it's good. And he made it for us, didn't he? So what's he speaking of here? I want us to think this morning a little about God's mind about these things. Because when the flesh becomes involved, then is when it becomes a lust. It becomes more than a satisfying thing. It is like, and I say this, it is like the spice in a cake or a pie or something good or meat. It is like the spice. It tastes so good. But folks, when the spice is what we make the whole thing out of, it turns bad. There's nothing wholesome about it. There's nothing good. The taste isn't even the same anymore. And we find people all the time. We find them being defiled. God made even love, didn't he? And he said, love one another, didn't he? And he told, isn't it wonderful to love one another? And then Satan gets a hold of that thing and puts the flesh in there and evil in there and twists that thing. And it's called lust. And it doesn't satisfy, though people give their whole life to it and become addicted to those things. And it don't satisfy. And they come to the end of their life. And how are they limited then? Here is eternity stretching out there. And they've given their life to lust and to those things. They're not going to find heaven. The Lord clearly tells us that there's not going to be any of that in heaven. And he tells us it's not going to be there, doesn't he? So this morning, I just want to challenge us that we are in the world, but folks, we are not of the world. We enjoy what God has given us. We enjoy the good things of God, but we don't set our hearts on it. Now, every man's way is right in his own eyes. So we need God's eyes this morning. Lord, how do you see these things? I will tell you, I believe where the key is this. They wholly followed the Lord God. They wholly followed Him. He was the center drive of everything about their life. They wanted to do His will. Do you know this morning, I really believe that it'll help us judge our lives rightly and our motives and things. If in our hearts, everything about our life is saying, Lord, I only want Your will to be done. Would You show me Your paths? What do You want me to do? What do You want me to do in life? What do You want me to do today, tomorrow? And that is on our mind. And I'll tell you what happens. The good things God has given us, we begin to center our affections on those things. And then what happens? We are centered on those things instead of on God and His will. Those things are supposed to be the good things that are our accomplices to get us through life, aren't they? They're supposed to be there to help us, to be able to make it through life, to be able to supply our needs, to be able to give us enjoyment and all those things. But when we center on those things, it becomes lust. And God can't smile on that. When those things become where our mind is, where our time is, our affections, we can kind of judge it by looking, where's my time? Where's my mind? What am I trying to do? Where's my affections? We can kind of get a pretty good glimpse into our lives if we really judge it that way. Where am I at today? Well, I'm not trying to condemn us this morning. Folks, the Lord wants our life to have an excellent spirit. He wants our life to be full of His presence and His blessings, which are good. The joy of the Lord, it is our strength, is it not? The peace of God in our homes, doesn't it make us come home and love being there? But I will tell you what we can do, and not so many people do this, but some do. They center it all on their home. It's all about me and mine. It's all about us. Do you know that when we do that, that good thing can become bad? And pretty soon we find a selfishness, a selfish behavior. Everything's about me. I want me to be satisfied. I want me to enjoy. I want me. Well, you know, the Lord wants us to love to have home, but He says to help those that are in need. He tells us to open up. He tells us to bring them to our house. That's what He says. And we find that God wants our lives to be wholly following His will. And so this morning, I just urge us. That's Colossians 3 and 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above. Folks, this is where, this is where the good things of God come. This is where the doors begin to open of their own accord. You know, those in prison in the New Testament there, who was it? Peter once, I believe Paul was in prison. And you know, Peter went out, I believe it says the door opened of its own accord. In at one of those times. Do you know that if we will let the Lord have His way, and we'll have an excellent spirit and seek the Lord. Lord, I want an excellent spirit. I want a spirit that when they write, if they were to write something, they'd have to say, He had an excellent spirit. She has an excellent spirit. Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. It's for every one of us. And it opens the doors that God wants to open in our life this morning. God help us that we have our affections centered. Lord, what would You have me to do? I believe that's a worthy request of the Lord. What would You have me to do? And then is when the good things can happen and do happen this morning, when God's in control of our life. We read here, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes And the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And we're told not to love the world, not to love the things of the world. And so it says here, the lust, the strong desire, the ungodly desire. Strong says of lust, it says a longing, especially for what is forbidden. You know, you think you'll ever be tempted like that, maybe? Jesus was, and you will be too. We're going to have to kill out those things. Because in our flesh, the devil wants to tempt us to take his way. To fill our flesh up with his things, his plans, his thoughts this morning. And I want to encourage us to not let those things be limiting factors on us in God. They'll limit God even being able to walk with us this morning. The scripture says, and I'm just going to quote this in Luke 16:13, no servant, I'm going to read it actually, can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now that's what the scripture says. Now folks, I know it's not just mammon. It's anything else. You can't serve God and other things. I just want to challenge us this morning that we serve God. Period. Not and. Because he said you can't do that. He said no man can serve two masters. If you do, what's going to happen is you're going to be pulling to one, and you're going to give it the room. Well, I've got to take care of this, you know. Well, what about the Lord's ideas of things this morning? No, but we're so caught up many times in our own ideas, our own things. And it's so easy to do, folks. It's easy for all of us. We have to watch for it. Don't let the flesh get too big. Don't let the things of this life get too big in our life. Don't let them grow until they consume us, until that's what our mind is always on. That's what our life is about. Somebody write a book and define our life. What would it be this morning? You know, I appreciate all of us here wanting to serve the Lord. I just want to challenge us today. Don't let there be a limiting factor in our life. Don't let it be that my life was overwhelmed and overcome. And I know in life, we have families. We have to work. We have to feed them. We're required to do that. We have a lot of things we have to do. We have jobs. We have to be there. We have to take care of business. Many of us have businesses here. And you have to take care of those things. But folks, make sure that it is an accessory to what you're really wanting to do. And that is wholly follow the Lord. And I believe this is what God wants me to do. You know, when it's that way, then everything fits in. It doesn't prove to be a snare. It proves to be a blessing. When it's that way. It's not hard for us to part with whatever God wants to take from us because it's not where our heart is. It's not where our love is. It's not where our affection is this morning. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, those things that would draw us. Ungodly things many times. We have to kill those desires out. Take a strong stand against those things. I will not have anything to do with that. I will not allow it any room in my heart, my life, or my mind. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, you've heard that. You've heard that solid rebuke. You've heard where my heart is. Now, give me the grace. Give me the grace to be pure. Give me the grace to be humble. Give me the grace to be kind. Give me the grace to be truthful. You know, those are things that sounds no-brainers, but folks, it's not that easy all the time, is it? We have to fight the devil just like Jesus did at times. The lust of the eyes, that means everything I see, I want. Folks, we enjoy good things, don't we? Isn't it wonderful to enjoy good things? Let's don't let it get too big. It turns from a good thing into a lust, which turns into a bad thing. It's because the flesh got involved. Not the will of God, but the flesh got involved. More than what it should be. Everything that I see, let's hold these things properly. God help us this morning. Because folks, I don't want to be limited, and I don't want you to be limited either this morning. Jesus said in John 4 and 31 to 34, I know that Jesus was in a little different situation. He didn't have children like we do. He didn't have a family to care for like we do. But I will tell you something. The same desire should run through our life that ran through his. And he said here in Luke 4 and 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, you know, they were concerned about him. It's time for you to eat, Master. You got to take care of the body. But you know what? His thoughts were so... That eating was just to get him through this life. That's what it was about. And so he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Isn't that an amazing answer? That's my meat. That's what I feed on. That's what I want to do. That's what he gave to them this morning. And God help us. 1 Corinthians 7 and 29 to 31. It says here, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. You know what Paul was saying here? Now he said, they that have wives as though they had not. Do you know we're commanded to work and support our family? So he's not talking about neglecting our family. He's not talking about our family not having sufficient things. He's not talking about not loving our wife and being very special to her, doing things for her that makes her love us. He's not talking about those kind of things, is he? He's not speaking of, it goes on to say, they that weep as though they wept not. There's a time to weep, the scriptures tell us. And then there's a time to refrain from those kind of things. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. They that buy as though they possessed not. I believe the Lord's telling us, let's center up in his will. And let's be found doing his will. And let's don't let the things of this world get such a grip on us that we abuse what they're for. They're here to provide pleasure for us. They are here to help us through this life, but they are not here to become our central focus. And when they do, we make a major error, because the Lord himself cannot and will not be able, by his Spirit, to draw close to us, to commune with us. It's not going to be possible if we allow these things a place that becomes a lust in our life. And I know we can do that, even with our wives. Clark said of that, he said, let none begin to think of any comfortable settlement for his family. Let him sit loose to all earthly concerns and stand ready, prepared to escape for his life or meet death, as the providence of God may permit. The husband will be dragged from the side of his wife to appear before the magistrates and be required either to abjure Christ or die. This was written, I believe Nero was the emperor at this time, and we find that shortly, they had to be, sometimes they had to be prepared to leave in a moment's notice, without any notice, just dragged off. We know that that's what maybe that they were facing at that time. But do you know it's good, wholesome admonition for us too? We don't know at what moment. I just went to a funeral this week that somebody didn't know 5 minutes before that they were going to be gone. And they instantly just passed off the scene like that. Do you know a man exactly my age? He was 56 years old. Do you know this morning? We don't know those things. So let's live in such a way as if our whole thought and mind was, Lord, I want to be in your will. I want your will to be my meat and my drink. Is that asking too much this morning? I want to read three scriptures here and I don't want to be here sound condemning, but I'm just going to read you the scripture. It was Jesus that said these things. I'm just reading them in Luke 14 and 33. Now we have to understand what Jesus was saying here and take them as he meant them and use them that way. Luke 14 and 33 says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. What does he mean by that? Forsaking all that he hath, he can't be my disciple. So do we have to run off and leave everything? I know people that they won't own a house. They won't own anything. The rest of the scriptures don't concur that that's what he meant here. The scriptures tell us, even in places of people having things, he says, charge them that are rich, that they be not high-minded. Do you know, we find that God has always blessed people in different ways, and some will be rich. But here he says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Folks, our heart better forsake all that we have. That we are ready at a moment's call without any interruption, knowing I'm ready to meet the Lord. I've been doing his will. I've been serving the Lord with all my heart. I believe we can be that way this morning. In the 27th verse of that same chapter, it says here, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now what's that mean? The same thing, doesn't it? We have to bear our cross. We have to be willing in this life. We will be different than the world. We will look different. We'll go to different places and we'll act different. And the scriptures plainly tell us that in people's minds, it won't make sense at all. You read 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, I believe it is. Maybe the second chapter with it or third too. And we find that the Lord calls us to forsake and to take up our cross and follow him. That's our life this morning. But I believe the doors that it opens is not only the door to heaven, but it opens the doors here. It opens the doors to his presence. It opens the doors to good families that are happy, that love each other. And if we'll all take this way, I'm telling you, I believe by the grace of God that we can have those blessings. Just like the Israelites, that he said, I'm going to give you all this good land. I'm going to give you all these promises that I've given. God has that for us too. Let's look up one more in Luke the 18th chapter and 29. He says here, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Jesus is trying to tell us, folks, there is something there to win, to gain, to have. And he tells us here that there has not a man, there has not a person that has left. This is what Jesus is telling us. That has left it all and has given it all to God, that has not had 100 times more in this life than he would have had. Now, he's not talking about being 100 times richer in money, but he's talking about being 100 times more blessed. And he does say houses and lands. You know what? The whole world becomes a gift from God. And the Lord is able. He's able to give us those things that satisfy this morning and will. I want to read just a few other scriptures. In Ephesians 2 and 8, it says, Ephesians 2 and 8, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do you know, we don't, one of us have one thing to boast about this morning. We were all like that. We were all of us, we're all the same, folks. We had to be saved from those things. We have to give it all to God and let Him have our lives this morning. And it says here, fulfilling in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's what we were. But we are different now. And our life is not just about fulfilling all of our desires. We have to tell ourselves no. Over and over, we have to say no. No, that's more than what, that's more. That's going to turn into something that's going to come back to bite me. So the Lord help us today to allow God to have His way, that we be not limited, not only at the judgment, but that we be not limited here in the things that God has for us. In 1 Peter 2 and 11, it tells us again, dearly beloved, 1 Peter 2 and 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Now, there he's telling us what a mindset we're to have. Strangers and pilgrims. This is not where we're setting our finality down, folks. Abstain. Withdraw. Don't allow yourself. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. I don't need any more war against my soul than I've already got. Satan's already warring against our soul, isn't he? We don't need to lend him more ammunition, do we? And so he says, abstain from fleshly lust. Rein it in to its proper measure. It's really good when it's in its proper measure. It's like a spice. It tastes so good. Just put a little in there. Tastes so good. But as we've said before, I love garlic. But I found out that lots of garlic don't make things taste better. But in its right place, it's really good. This morning, the Lord has given us all things richly to enjoy. Let's enjoy them. Let's let life be just what God made it. Let's don't let the devil turn things into lust, into desires, into things that are bad, that come back, that steal our hope of heaven, that steal our contact with God, that steal our families. That's what can happen. And we've seen it over and over. All around us in the world, it happens every day. We see it, don't we? Well, the Lord bless us this morning. The scripture says, Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You seek those things first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek it. Go to meetings. Be there. Be counted with the Lord. Seek His will. Seek His place. Seek His gift in your life, because He has a gift for you to function in the body. Now, no, it may not be speaking publicly, but there's a lot of gifts. But it may be speaking publicly. And so we give ourselves to Him this morning. And He said all these things. Everything that your heart desires to be fulfilled, He said, they'll be added to you. Do we believe that this morning? I do. I found it to be so. He'll add things until sometimes I've almost felt ashamed. Lord, it seems too much. It seems too unfair. There's too many that don't have all those blessings. And I'm not just talking about things, folks. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The one, when the flesh becomes involved, and we want too much of this world, even the nice things, the beauties of nature can become an idol to us. One is pure. One desire is pure. A pure desire is pure, and it leads to more purity. It leads to glorifying God. The other is corrupted, and it leads to more corruption. One leads to heaven, the other to eternal darkness and woe and despair. This morning, I just want to challenge us today. God help us. I believe that the Lord has great doors to open to all of us. He has so much in mind for you and me. I believe he wants to take our life. He wants to make us into jewels of his making. He wants to make us into an image of him in our life. And I will tell you, sometimes he's got a lot of work to do on us, doesn't he? He does. He's had a lot of work to do on me, and he's still working. Folks, this morning, let's let the Lord have our lives. Let's don't let there be any limiting factors. Lord, I will have no desires in my life. I'm not going to allow it to be too big or out of place. I'm going to kill those things. I'm going to put to death those desires that would cause me to be sidetracked, to have those things turned into lust. Y'all pray for me.